I always thought it was kind of unusual about the fact that temp sirolimus was used in poor risk disease. Was there any biology to that in terms of why it might work preferentially there, Dr. Stadler?
So, I mean, I think that, you know, this is an interesting story where sometimes what becomes the standard of care is driven by perhaps not so much science. And the temp sirolimus example here was that there was some preliminary data from the phase two studies that there might be a preferential response in patients with poor prognosis, but it was very limited data.
I mean, but why?
And there was no biology behind that. And in fact, the phase three trial focusing on poor prognosis patients was designed in an effort to get to the endpoint, the survival endpoint, more rapidly so that the sponsor can get it onto the market more rapidly. That strategy backfired because there were insufficient poor prognosis patients with a sufficient performance status to actually conduct the trial, that the trial actually went slower than anticipated. And that's where the entire data for poor prognosis came from. And the entire data from the, you know, non-clear cell population really came from a retrospective analysis of that study, and that data was based on what was put into the database. And I actually had the opportunity to look at some of those pathology reports, and a lot of the pathology reports that were, quote, non-clear cell, where someone did an FNA on a renal cancer that said it was an adenocarcinoma not otherwise specified, and therefore it became a non-clear cell. So there's a lot of, you know, sort of details behind these trials that then have been translated into standards of care that may not necessarily be so.